about everything. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Being that it is All Souls Day, All Saints Day, we commemorate the entire body of saints in heaven, the entire church triumphant. And it is for us to not only remember them, especially today, but every day, always, to remember those saints, because they are people whom we are intimately united to. They are part of the same mystical body of Christ as we are. They are the church triumphant, we are the church militant. And as we commemorate tomorrow, the church suffering, the third part of that mystical body of Christ. And just like our own bodies, made up of parts, these parts of the mystical body of Christ, they are intertwined, they are connected together always. And so it is not for us to think of the saints merely as people who are already in heaven. It is not for us to merely think of them as a lofty goal to be able to join, but to rather realize that they are intimate in our lives, there, readily, constantly with us, hearing our prayers, interceding before God, and being interested in us making it to heaven to join them. One of the most interesting depictions I saw came from a trip that I had made years ago over to England. It was my first time in country, actually, and while I don't like to spend much time in the city of London, I did, in this occasion, contact a friend of mine who lived at that time in England, and he gave me a tour that day, a one-day tour around the city to various different places. And at a certain point, we took this long walk through the city and came to the place of what was known as the Tyburn Tree. I didn't actually know about this implement there, and all that was there for a marker was a simple placard on the ground, nothing really much else there. But it was an important spot, because on that spot, it was a spot of execution that took place in London. And on that spot, while many other criminals were certainly put to death, at least 105 Catholic martyrs received their reward in heaven. You see, the Tyburn Tree was not necessarily an actual tree, but rather a wood gallows that was three vertical posts spaced out equally to form a triangle, and then three horizontal posts that joined them together on the top, creating the upper triangle portion. And the ropes would be hung over the top of it, and seen as most of the Catholics were put to death for the crime of treason, they would be hung and then drawn and quartered afterwards there on that spot. So, arriving, it was a solemn spot, but again, it's just a spot on the sidewalk of a busy street. And so all the hustle and bustle that goes around sort of takes away from it. And as we started to walk away, the man that I was with, he said to me, "I've heard that there is a convent nearby that has some of the relics of the saints, but I don't know where exactly it is. I've only just heard about it." And as he was telling me this, I looked above his head, and sure enough, there on the wall was a sign announcing that that building was indeed the convent for the Tyburn Tree and the sisters that were therein. So we opened the door to the chapel, and unfortunately there was the Novus Ordo going on there, and so we tried to sneak out. The chapel was ugly anyways, and we didn't see anything particular that was interesting, so we tried to sneak away, but somebody had seen us, and they came running over out of the chapel, and they told us, wait, are you here to see the relics?" And we said, "Yeah, we had heard about them, but if it was possible, but we see that Mass is going on, we don't want to disturb you." And they said, "No, it's just about done. Just wait a couple of minutes sister will see you. And no matter what, they insisted that we stay. And so, awkwardly, we stood there on the street side until finally sister came and she welcomed us in. She never even took us to the chapel, the mass, their Novus Ordo liturgy had taken place. Instead, right away, she led us downstairs, down to what we were to discover was a real hidden treasure. Down there, all upon the walls, were relics. Relics of the Catholic martyrs who had died there at Tiber. Hair and fingernails and teeth, pieces of bone and cloths soaked in blood, pieces of clothing worn during the executions, all hanging upon the wall. And we stared in wonder at the treasure that they had, and we went by and read the names and prayed to the saints of those who had gone before. We're told about this, that the executions that took place there at Tyburn, that the people were the ones who saved the relics. That these, and this was done with threat to their own lives, that they had to secretly go and obtain these things, because they knew how precious it was that these men and women had become saints, that they had acted so heroically, that they had given their lives for our Lord, and they didn't want it to be lost forever. And so they secreted away relics, and then they kept them secretly in their homes, and they passed them on from generation to generation in their own families as the precious heirlooms that they were, heirlooms of the faith, until finally in the 1800s the convent was erected, and they happily donated them back to have a proper place of honor there in that convent. It is amazing, because it is all sorts of walks of life of these Catholic martyrs. Many of them were priests, men who had gone off and had to travel far away in order to study the priesthood, knowing that they, in traveling to foreign countries, voluntarily returned back to their homeland. And in doing so, knowing that it was illegal to be there and operate as a priest, that they most likely were ultimately signing their own death warrant in doing so. But not just these men, but also women amongst the martyrs, usually for the crime harboring priests, hiding them in their homes. And with all of this, we also saw there an altar erected in that downstairs chapel, proper altar in which had been gifted a replica of the Tyburn tree. It was smaller and to scale, and it was over top of the altar itself, standing as a sort of canopy, a canopy of this union in sacrifice, a union in the mystical body of Christ, Christ as its head, and those who in the time of their militancy gained the crown of the triumphs. And so it stood there in this beautiful small basement. Sister was so gracious in her explanations and all of the things that she filled us in on the information. And at the end, all we could do was thank her with great sincerity. But she surprised us, and she turned to us and she said, "No, thank you for coming here. It is not often that people come. They do, from time to time, come and witness the chapel. But it is not as often as it should be. We're just grateful that you would honor the saints in the way that you have." And so she started to hand us things, gifts. She gave us a book, and she gave us a prayer card. And then ultimately she gave me a rolled up piece of artwork. And when I unfurled it, what I saw was something really beautiful. It was a picture of the martyrs of Tyburn. And they all were huddled around together, sort of forming this crowd, this horseshoe there. Before them, where all of their focus was headed, was to the altar with the priest there before it. And they adored the moment of the consecration of the Mass. And there by the altar was the rendering of the Tyburn tree. And they were depicted there, uniting their sacrifice with Christ, uniting the act of redemption with the actuality of gaining that reward, and showing all of us in a single image this wonderful point that every single Mass that transpires is indeed Calvary again. It is the eternal sacrifice before our eyes. And as such, the entirety of the mystical body of Christ is united. We choose to be here as the church militant. But around us is joined with us all those souls, those holy people who have gone before us, and the angels of heaven, all coming to be here and to adore our Lord. You're never simply alone as a small group at the moment of the sacrifice, but it is truly a meeting of all of heaven and earth together, right there before our eyes. Our frailty is what keeps us from regularly understanding this, from realizing it and seeing it. The busyness of our lives, the worries of our day-to-day, the cares that we have, of the minutiae of temporal things. The things which are struggles and the difficulties and focus and the distractions and the reality that we do not see all of this in its glory, but rather behind a veil. But we know by our faith that it is real, and we know by our faith that it is present, and we know by our faith we are truly connected to it whenever we choose to find ourselves right here, to be at the foot of the cross and the foot of the altar of sacrifice. And so it reminds us that our aim is the same as those saints who have gone before us. It is to grow in perfection day by day here in this life. It is to work towards salvation. It is to continually make efforts in the way of virtue. And this is not something that comes naturally. It comes because we act upon what we know by our faith. It comes when we make those efforts to make the trip and be at the sacraments, to unite ourselves throughout our days by acts of spiritual communions, by the dropping to our knees when we are tired and not desirous to pray, but performing those prayers anyways. It is the performance of sacrifices and offering little tiny bits of ourselves, giving little bits of our free will and our comfort to be united in a small sliver of sacrifice with the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross, and the sacrifice of the saints who have led the way by their own example before us. They are there, those saints in heaven, not just to have as a simple, nice idea, but they truly are united to us. They are part of our lives. They are meant to be our intercessors before Almighty God and our inspiration in following after their virtues to obtain the same reward they have already won. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.